the night of Passover night, where things looked pretty bad, pretty bleak, but it came out God's good. Amen. In the midst of it all, praise God. Through it all, God was good. All right. Thanks for singing. I hope you sung, did you? Okay. All right, praise God. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter morning. Now, via our broadcast, our rest of our church people are joining us. We trust they are. I shared with the group here a few moments ago, we heard from people in India this week that would be listening to Easter service coming from here. People in Africa are tuning in. And we heard from people in Savannah, Georgia, that'll be having church with us today. And so we have people. I have a friend that lives near Topeka, just outside of Topeka, that sent a message, said, can I listen into your church service on Sunday morning since I'm caught at home? And so for Myrna Jones, welcome to you. Happy Easter to you. Praise God. Some of you have heard the story about when Candy was pregnant. We had a family in our church that lived almost to Topeka, and they had sheep. And they invited us up one Saturday to come help them worm sheep. And, of course, we're city folk, and we don't know how to worm sheep. It was quite an experience. Candy happened to be 8 months pregnant at the time, and but she was pretty bold in those days, and she'd try anything. And so we had large sheep and small sheep, and what you do is you have to throw your leg over them, hold them by their ears. Actually, you get hold of them by their ears, you think it'd hurt them, and you hold their front feet off the ground. That's so that they can't get away. You're straddling them, and you got a picture of this. Candy's 8 months pregnant, and so she's got one leg over a sheep and holding the front of that sheep up by that sheep's ears, and then Brother Jones or Myrna would come along with this big old syringe, and you'd hold her face up to him, and they'd stick that in their mouth and squirt a big glob of something in their mouth that would help them not to have worms. And so we spent the day worming sheep. And so those are our friends from Topeka. And she's the one who notified us this week and said, can we have church with you? So God bless you, Myrna. All right. Here's our message this morning. We're going to get right into it and then trust you'll have a Happy Easter Day. It's a little bit different. Let me just remind you of the positives that are going on. Somebody says, well, boy, it seems so funny. I remember Easter services being the most attended church day. Can I tell you that they are estimating that more people attended church, more people took communion this year than at any other year in history. They had a worldwide communion service. Where people were having communion at the same time here as they were in Africa and in Australia and in China, the underground church. And we've had, via the different media sources, opportunity for more people to attend church. So it looks like this is the lowest church attendance that we've ever had. But kingdom-wise, they're estimating that more people are attending church this year than ever have. Boy, doesn't that give the enemy a black eye? When he wants to mock you and say, yep, you know, look how puny you are. No, look how strong we are. And I just remind you again, John the Revelator had his eyes opened up, and he wasn't seeing something that wasn't. He was seeing something that was. And he said, I saw a host around the throne of God that was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands upon thousands. Praise God. Sometimes, you know, Paul says this, you have to do this. You've got to close your eyes so you can see. says you don't look at the things that are seen, but you look at the things that are not seen. And so what he's talking about is that's not just using your imagination. That is, there's an opening up of your eyes so you can see what's really going on. And there's a tremendous host that are gathering to worship today. And then the different large churches. It seems so funny. I watched last week the tremendous large church at Lakewood in Houston, Texas. And Joel was preaching from the pulpit to empty chairs. And that huge place was empty. Or was it empty? Do you think he was preaching to anybody? Do you think the word of God was going forth? And they're estimating that. So somebody would have said, you know, they were really down today. He says, no, we were really up today. More people were listening during that. I'm telling you, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard against him. And so you've got to have your eyes opened up. God is moving today by his Spirit. And so we need to be appreciative of the move of God, the Holy Spirit. I want to preach a message today, and I'm entitling it Through It All, because Andre Crouch, some of you know him as a songwriter, a singer from years ago, and he wrote a song, said, through it all, I've learned to put my trust in God and know that he's going to see us through. And actually, when you come through it, you actually come out better than you were before you went into it. Closer to him, having grown, having developed. So I want to talk to you this morning about I want to use the word culmination, the culmination of, probably the next slide now, the culmination of what's been going on. When you understand culminate, that means there's a lot of things working, but the culmination of them. See, I can be going through this, and I say, well, I don't like what I'm going through right now. And I just reflected back, and I remember one thing that I had to do after another that I didn't want to do, but I still had to do them. And they usually wound up culminating in good. I loved to play when I was a kid. We lived in the country. And I grew up, and I didn't have to worry about anything like what they do now. I played outside all day long. Sundays I wouldn't come in for lunch. Mom would have to, she'd be worried about me because I wouldn't come in for lunch. Because just played ball, played anything, played in the dirt, just played cars, played anything, played army, played cowboys and Indians, just played. And it was just a fun day. And then they told me when I was turned six, I'm so old that in the neighborhood I was in, they didn't have kindergarten. We didn't have kindergarten. That's back in the 1950s, you know. And so the school that I went to didn't have a kindergarten. You started that in the first grade. And they said, you got to go to school this year. I said, oh, man, I don't want to go to school. Said, how long does it last? And I said, they told me how long I'd have to be in there. And I thought that was the worst thing. I remember being just 6 years old thinking, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. I got to sit there all that time. I got to go to, got to be in there. And they forced me to stay. And I just wanted to go play because that was my routine. But, you know, I couldn't appreciate it then. But does anybody, can you understand that I'm glad I went to school now? You know, I'm thankful because I'm talking about the culmination of things. Now, we are in a season of some horrible things happening right now from the vantage point of where we're at right now. But the culmination of those things, I wonder how things are going to turn out. I wonder what God's up to. I wonder if there's not a power that's bigger than we are, and a source of strength that's being released, that's doing something that has a bigger purpose than what we can appreciate as we're going through it. I didn't appreciate Mrs. Larson. I didn't appreciate Mrs. Thompson. She got hold of the back of my arm And I came home and my mom said, "Where did you get that bruise?" And I said, "Mrs. Thompson did that to me." She said, "Why?" I said, "She said I wouldn't stay in line." And we were supposed to line up. In those days, we had to line up and you had to stay in line. And I kept getting out of line because, man, I was a player. She got hold of my arm and she held me in that line and walked me down. By the time I got home, I had three places. You see all three fingers right there, the back of my arm. I didn't like that. But the culmination of some of those things that I went through, we had our principal in my grade school, his name is Mr. Trick. And he had a daughter that was Shelly Trick. And so now I'm all the way up in the fifth grade, and Shelly's my girlfriend. You shouldn't have a girlfriend when you're in the fifth grade, but I had a girlfriend, and she was the principal's daughter. That's terrible. If you're going to get a girlfriend, don't let it be the principal's daughter. Because, boy, he was on me. I mean, he was on me. I didn't get away with anything. Mr. Trick was on me. And one time we was out playing and somebody brought in some rubber bands. And girls in those days used to have bobby pins. Does anybody know what bobby pins are? You don't even see them. I don't see them much now, but little pins. And one of the kids, one of my buddies showed me how to take a rubber band and shoot that bobby pin. So I was having fun. They was having math class and I'm actually going, and I'm shooting bobby pins, and I don't have right sense at the time. I wasn't getting the idea that could stick in somebody, that could hurt somebody. And then Mr. Trick happened to be standing back behind the class, and I didn't know it. And he got hold of the back of my neck, like they used to walk you like this, you know, got hold of the back of my neck. Come on, young man. And we walked to the janitor's closet. The janitor's closet, I don't know what they did in there, but I found out that day what the janitor's closet was for. And anyway, he said, "You could have put out somebody's eye with that." See, that would have been the culmination if that mentality or way of doing things, if it hadn't been curtailed, that could have wound up hurting somebody. And so I didn't appreciate the paddle that day. He said, bend over and get hold of your ankles. And he laid it on me three times right there that day. And I didn't enjoy going through that much. But I learned something. I learned I wasn't going to be shooting any bobby pins anymore around. You see what I'm talking about, culmination. I'm talking to you this morning about, I want to preach to you. I'm going to give you my message in a nutshell. See a picture up here. Jerusha does a wonderful job with our graphics. That nutshell, the culmination of the plagues and pestilences. This is the week we celebrate Passover. This is Passover week. It winds up being Easter week for we who are Christians with the resurrection of Jesus. But Passover is when the blood of the lamb was applied to the doorpost of the people who were enslaved in Egypt, because God wanted to, I'm talking to you about culmination. God wanted to have his people delivered from the power of Egypt. Now, how do you think that deliverance might come? You know, sometimes we just get the idea that God did these wonderful miracles like the plagues. When God poured out the plagues, I'm talking to you now about culmination of the different plagues. There was 10 of them. I'll show you a picture of them in a minute. But here's the culmination of the plagues. You know what God was up to? He was up to getting his people delivered. Now, does everybody understand that the Hebrew people were in Egypt? They were in Egypt. Where were the plagues being poured out? In Egypt. It was all around them. I'll show you pictures of the different things that were happening. Does anybody think that they're... Now, listen, God promised to keep his people while those things were going on. But does anybody think that that might have been, that there was any kind of pressure that might have been on those people at that time? See, if you're in Egypt, how many of you know when it rains on the just and the unjust alike? Now, thank God we've got a hiding place in him, and we've definitely got an advantage. Boy, I want to stir up in you today that while we're in the midst of things that we're uncomfortable with, and while there's a current plague, you've definitely got an advantage. You've got a secret place. You've got a hiding place in him. You've got promises that have been given to you. You've got friends that'll stand with you. You've got believers and faith and the promises of the Word of God, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know in the midst of all that? Let me tell you a quick little story about there was one particular prophet, Elisha, who during his time of serving, a great army, evil army, came with thousands of soldiers. And they lined up in battle array on the hills around where Elisha was. And Elisha's servant went out one day and he saw them, and there was horsemen, and they were all, and he saw the swords and he saw the horses and he saw the chariots, and he comes in and Elisha saw his face and he saw the distress on his face. See? And Elisha said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "You won't believe it." He said, "There are so many of the enemy out there. There's not a chance for us to have success. There's not a chance for us to live through this." And Elisha says, you know, and Elisha was going to give him some good advice here. Now listen to this advice. You know what he told him? He said, "Fear not." Yeah, right. Just look at those and say, "Fear not." I'm trying to help you this morning, because in the midst of all that's going on in our world, you'll come and it'll be real easy for some spiritual people or some religious leaders to tell you, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." Well, does anybody think that you're really not going to be afraid? Now, I know you might try to man up and stick your chest out and act like you're not afraid of anything, but when he says, "Fear not," I've learned this about God. He understands. Did you know he's a high priest that's touched with the feeling of your infirmities? Do you know that when he came, he felt what you feel now? Do you think he doesn't understand your feelings of being afraid of certain things, or the fear of having to go through certain things? He understands that very well. But when he says, "Fear not," he's not saying, "Don't have any fear." He's saying, "Don't let fear rule you." He's saying, "Don't let that get hold of you and dictate the way that you're going to live and the way you're going to respond." He said, "I understand what you're going through." God understands. All right. The culmination is what I'm talking about. Here's what God was up to. You know what God was doing when all those plagues were being poured out? He was up to deliverance for God's captive people. He saw them. I mean, they knew they had it bad, but they didn't realize how bad they had it. And God was up to getting them delivered. Did you know that God's up to getting you delivered in this day? He's up to bringing you out. Number two, he is up to, you know what God's up to? If you don't know the story, when the children of Israel, at the culmination of the plagues, after on the 10th plague, the culmination of the plagues, they were leaving Egypt, and God opened up the Red Sea, remember? And they were leaving Egypt, and as they were going through, everybody say through, but the Egyptians and the Egyptian army, the horse and the rider, amen, they followed them into that Red Sea, and the sea caved in upon them, and the horse and the rider were thrown into the sea, and they were destroyed. I'm talking about the culmination. I know we don't want to go through certain things, but can I tell you this? Number one, God is up to getting us delivered. Number two, he's up to destroying the powers that have been at work to keep you prisoner and that have targeted you and are chasing you every day of your life. Number three, this is what he's up to. He is up to establishing the kingdom. Now, if you was there and you could see, here's Egypt, here's the bricks and all of the workings, and here's the culture of the day, and here's the Egyptian army, and here's these Hebrew people that are slaves with slave mentality. And God is establishing kingdom in those people. I'm just telling you, we look around, you say, well, I've got a weak brother, I've got a weak sister, I've got somebody over here who is trembling, I've got somebody over here who is going through this hard time. You know what God's up to? Let's do number three. Let's do all three of them. God is up to delivering us, God is up to destroying your enemies, and God is up to establishing you and making you strong. Come on, praise God. Isn't it good? All right. Now what? Hallelujah. These 10 plagues report out. This is from Exodus chapter 5. I'm going to read that to you. Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Because even Moses felt certain things. You know, he saw what the people were going through. And as he saw the horrible things of the day, it was hard to understand that and get it in perspective. But the Holy Spirit's going to help us. Now watch. It says, so Moses returned to the Lord and he said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? And why is it that you have sent me? What am I here for? He says, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Now see, that was Moses speaking from his perspective. He said, I don't see you delivering anybody. I don't see things getting better. In fact, things are getting worse. Since I opened my mouth and I started to believe and started to tell them that they've increased our workload. And then these different plagues were poured out. Now, I just want you to, it'd be real easy for us to say, well, that's what the Egyptians went through. But the Hebrew people were in Egypt. And when these things were poured out, now thank God, God had a measure of protection upon those people, but especially from the fear of those things. I remember the fear and the panic of when I was afraid. I was a fearful little kid. Mom and Dad go away. I'd have thoughts like, "They may not ever come home." You know, if I remember sitting on the front porch and his dad was supposed to be home by now, and I remember having the horrible thought, "What if something happened to him? They may not come home, and who's going to take care of me?" I remember having a thought like that. That kind of fear, that's a torment. These people were in Egypt. I'm talking about the Egyptians. Somebody says, well, the Egyptians deserved that, but the Hebrews, these are slaves. And did you know, let's talk about why the water was turned to blood. And when the water was turned to blood, I mean, it wasn't fit to drink anymore. And do you think that that was just affecting the Egyptian people? Let me ask you right now. There's a plague that we're in the middle of. There's a pestilence we're in the middle of right now called a coronavirus, isn't there? Do you think that's just affecting? Because, thank God, listen, you know, Psalm 91 has become one of the favorite scriptures. Every time I turn on the TV, I'm hearing the faith preachers remind you of Psalm 91. Thank God for it. Because in the secret place of the Most High, there is a place of protection for you. But let me tell you how this works. When you get to the point that says it'll happen to everybody around you, now watch, be careful, because there's a misinterpretation. It says, but it won't come nigh you. There might be 1,000 people around you that it's going to get, but it's not going to get you. Now I said it right. But when you get this idea that, but it's not going to come nigh you, listen, it's going to come knocking on your door the same as it comes knocking on. When the plagues were poured out in Egypt, everybody that was in Egypt suffered a measure of consequences of those plagues being poured out. Whether it be the water being turned into blood, frogs everywhere. You know what the frogs affected? Said they opened up their ovens where they cooked, and frogs were in there. They got into their refrigerators and where the food was kept, and frogs was in there. And after a few days, the frogs died and were rotten, and the smell of them. And then after the frogs came lice, and then flies. Wouldn't it be nice if some of the Hebrew people would have known about faith and said, we rebuke those flies and wouldn't have to go through that. But see, the flies were around. But look, can I remind you of a lady named Corrie Ten Boom that when Nazi Germany was in full force and they started taking Jews and Christians that were sympathetic with Jews and putting them in concentration camps and keeping them prisoner and the things that they went through. Wouldn't it have been nice if somebody just knew the faith message then and could have said, we rebuke that Nazi thing in Jesus' name and it won't come nigh us. Well, you're not going to find a woman of stronger faith than a lady like Corrie Ten Boom. But she didn't use her faith like that. You know what she did? God kept her. She found the secret place of the Most High, and in the midst of all of that, she found a hiding place, and she turned around, and other people would be fearful, and they'd be mourning. Do you think that she experienced any fear? Oh, be careful. Of course she did. Do you think when they said, listen, your family is going to cost you your family, and when she got word, says, they've taken your dad, see, that was something real for her to go through. But there was a culmination that she had to keep her eyes on that was going to bring relief to her. Anyway, so all of these plagues, all the way down, and the last one was the death. The death of the firstborn, and that's where we get our Passover from. Okay, praise God. Now, I read to you Exodus chapter 5. Let's start with the first verse of chapter number 6. Because do you hear what the question was? Moses is saying, since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's done evil to this people, and neither have you delivered your people at all. You haven't delivered them. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is what he said to Moses, now you shall see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. Not what I'm going to do to these people, but what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. You watch. Because I'm just telling you that there is a judgment that is being poured out. Somebody says, oh, you know, it's awful. Could this be a judgment of God? And we got the church kind of being divided. Somebody says, no, God doesn't judge like that. Oh, yeah, God judges sin, and God judges wrong motives, and he'll separate you from them. This is the good news. Let the culmination work. When something is poured out on you, God's at work, and he's doing these three things. Remember what they are? Delivering you, destroying the enemy, and establishing the kingdom. Amen. So you're going to participate in those things, amen, by hook or by crook. He's going to pull you into this, and he's going to make you strong whether you want to get strong or not. Mr. Trick was going to make me grow up whether I wanted to grow up or not. My mom was going to make me go to school whether I wanted to go to school or not. And God is going to establish the kingdom in your heart. Amen. Now, let's do Psalm 91. Psalm 91, I'll just remind you of some things, because sometimes you have to understand there are some people who don't think that they should have to go through certain things. And there are those that are into that kind of escapism where, you know, we're believers, so we shouldn't have to experience that. And so we want to use our faith to try to get out of things. But listen, Noah was called to build an ark, and it was a building project that went on every day. And he had to stand day after day being ridiculed and being mocked. And that was just the cost of serving. Count the cost of being a believer and know that even though I'm here in the midst of all this other stuff that's going on, I've got help. I've got strength. I've got the glory of the Lord. He promised to be my glory and the lifter up of my head. Listen, if you weren't being pressed down and if you weren't being ridiculed and if you weren't the target of the enemy, you wouldn't need to have somebody hold up your head. Come on, do we need somebody to hold up our head in this hour? We need somebody. Thank God you've got help. Amen. So watch. Let's just read that Psalm 91. Well, praise God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So even though you're under the shadow of the Almighty, how many of you know you still are aware of what's going on round about you? Watch. He said, so I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I don't know if you hear the other side of this or not, but you must be needing to know who needs a refuge. People that are in the middle of a storm. Said, he's my refuge and my fortress. Who needs a fortress to run into? People in the middle of a big war. Yeah. All right, it says, surely he will deliver you. I didn't think I was supposed to be in it. But then it says, surely I will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. I'm giving you a few things here. What we experienced during the plagues. He says, he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. We don't use that word snare much. A lot of our young people probably maybe don't even know what a snare is. Does everybody know? Do you get what a snare is? It's a trap to catch an animal. You put out a snare. You're going to catch that bird. Or you're going to catch that groundhog or that what? Mouse. Catch that mouse. Get caught in that mouse trap. A snare. Now listen, I'm telling you what the plagues were about, what the plagues were for, what we experienced during the plagues is, listen, he says, he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, in other words, does anybody in their right mind, can you be thinking this way? If you're going to be delivered from the snare of the fowler, does anybody think that means that you won't get in the snare? If you're being delivered from the snare, what does it mean? You got to be in it. This thing fell on us. It's all around us. Now listen, the fear of being sick or the fear of not seeing your I've got grandchildren who are calling me on the phone saying, we'd like to come and see you, Grandpa, but we can't come and see you because, you know, we don't want to bring anything in there. And so we're afraid you're going to get sick. And so they told us that we're not supposed to. I understand that. I understand that fear is all around us. But there's a snare that you can be caught in. And we've been caught in that snare right along with the rest of them. But thank God, deliverance is ours. He said, he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and he'll deliver you from the perilous pestilence. From the perilous pestilence. Those are sicknesses and diseases. I know some people would get on you real quick and say, well, you know, what do you have? I got arthritis. What's your problem? I got migraine headaches. What's your problem? I've got a weak heart. Wouldn't it be awful if somebody said, well, shame on you. Shame on you for having arthritis. Where's your faith at? Why don't you straighten up? Earlene had epilepsy for years and years and years and years. We could have gathered around and said, shame on you. Where's your faith at? You shouldn't be having to go through that. Can I just turn it around and listen and tell you what? He promised to deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from perilous pestilences or from the various sicknesses and diseases. What I'm telling you is that we're all exposed to it, but you've got help. Did you find out you've got help? How long has it been since you had a seizure now?
12 years.
Been 12 years. She went from having sometimes dozens a day. 15, 20 a day sometimes to having now 12 years without having. Did God deliver her from perilous pestilence? Can he deliver you? I'm telling you, don't feel guilty because we have those things, and don't think that you're not going to have some of those things that are going to be going on with you. But know this, that God has come to deliver you and to keep you. And he'll deliver you from the terror by night. I'm telling you, there's a fear that's associated with things. And I don't want you to think that, boy, something must be wrong with me because I'm afraid. I want you to feel the presence of the Lord and say, in the midst of my fear, I've got something greater than that in me, and I'm going to put my trust in him, and I'm not going to cave in. I'm not going to cave into that. Amen. The terror by night or the arrow by day, and even the destruction that comes by noonday, the open things that everybody seems to be facing, the obvious things that are surrounding us. Do you know, does everybody, this affects some of you more than it does others. It doesn't affect me too much, unfortunately. The stock market has taken a tremendous nosedive. So those of you who get reports and shows what has happened to your 401k plan or to your retirement money that you had, and maybe it was this much and now it has been reduced by 30 or 40%. Do you think that that when that happened, that just happened to the Egyptians and it didn't happen to the Hebrews? Do you think that that just happened to the unbeliever and to the idolaters, and that if you're a person of faith, that your 401k didn't go down? All of our 401ks went down. See, it rained on them and it rained on us, didn't it? Yeah. But thanks be to God. What's the difference here? I've got hope and I've got help. And I've got promises, amen, and I'll not be overcome. Praise God, amen. So there's some things that are happening by noonday right out in the open, but that destruction God has promised to keep you from. All right, I'm just about done. Now, I'm going to do those first three things again. Remember the culmination of the plagues and pestilences, or what is God up to? He's up to delivering you. He's up to removing the horse and the rider, and he's up to establishing kingdom. Culmination. Next slide. Culmination. Here's what's going on. The shaking. Now watch. Hebrews chapter 12. Most of you are familiar with that scripture. How God has promised to shake everything that can be shaken so that that which can't be shaken might remain. Now watch. He says, yet once more, I shake not only the earth. This is Hebrews 12, verse number 26. He says, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. The removal of those things that are being shaken. What's the shaking for? For the removal of those things that can be shaken. Do you think God wants to get some things out of your life? Can you just, is there anything? Let's just do our attitudes. Do you think there's anything in my attitude that God wants to get rid of? He wants good for me. Do you know that? He wants me to have some peace. And if I'm a worrier, do you think he wants to get rid of some things? He wants to help me get rid of some things? Amen. There's a torment that comes, you know, the tormentor. And God is going to help get rid. Amen. He says, so the things that can be shaken will be removed. The removal of those things that are being shaken as the things that are made. And then what's the other side of this? That the things which cannot be shaken might remain. Did you hear? What three things again? Your deliverance. Number two, the removal or the destroying of your spiritual enemies. Now, I'm not talking about physical enemies. Your wife isn't your enemy. Your husband's not your enemy. Your boss is not your enemy. You know, we don't fight with them. But there are fears your enemy. Sickness and disease is an enemy. Lack is an enemy. And see how what we're talking about, lust, and greed, unholy desire, that's an enemy. And somebody says, well, I just won't have that anymore. Well, I'm sorry. It just doesn't work like that. You've already got it. But it will not rule over you because there's help for you. Because what's God doing? Well, this is what he's doing. Thanks be to God. He came to deliver me from that. He came to deliver that from me, to destroy that. And he came to establish me and make me strong, make me firm. Does everybody see how that shaking does all three of those things? He removes things that are being shaken, that can be shaken, and he establishes the things that can't be shaken. Praise God. So, culmination, you're going to come out of this. You're going to come out of this without what the enemy put on you and with the promises that came from God. Therefore, amen, we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. See the kingdom building? Receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken. Let us have grace. Amen. Matthew 7 and verse number 24 is talking about, Jesus says, he's talking about building a house on a rock. The reason you want to build a house on a rock is, what happens when you build a house on sand and the storm comes? It's not going to last, is it? I mean, how long are you going to cry over that house that's built on the sand being washed away? Well, you know, you can only spend so many years sobbing over that. Get the point. Understand. The reason that it was taken away is it could be taken away. There's some things that can't be taken away from you. Praise God. Amen. Now, if you're going to stand and fight with all your heart for a house that's built on the sand, you're still going to lose it, even though you fight with all your heart and be brokenhearted. But hear the word of the Lord. Build your house upon the rock. Get hold of those things. Did you know I've got some things that are laid in me foundationally that can't be taken? See, my 401k is not one of them. Because it might go. I don't know. See, it's already down 30, 40%, isn't it? What do I have that can't be taken? Anybody know? You can't take my faith from me. You can't take my trust in God from me. I'm going to go further. You can't take my peace away from me. You can't take my joy away from me. These are eternal things. These are giftings of God that I've received from him. Amen. Somebody says, well, what if something awful happens? Well, ask that lady when her little boy died. And she stood her ground and she said, all is well. My trust is in God. Amen. See what she was saying? You can't steal my joy. You can't steal my peace. You can't take away the things that God has established in me. Amen. Well, thanks be to God. Build your house on the rock and it'll stand. Now, the next part, the gathering up of the tares. Does everybody remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? See, wheat are children of the kingdom. Tares are children of the wicked one. So we've got evil things and we've got good things. Now, I know we want to make them people, but today I'm not going to talk to you, because when we fight, we don't resist people. We come against spiritual problems, spiritual roots. So here we go. Jesus told the parable about wheat and tares. He said, the good sower planted seed, planted wheat, and the wheat started growing up. And then alongside them, the enemy came and he sowed tares, and the tares grew up. And so we got a field and the wheat and growing up in the same field, side by side, wheat and tares. And the disciples said, oh man, that explains everything then. He says, you mean something good can be happening the very next day, something bad can be happening? It can be side by side? He says, why don't we just, I know what, let's just go gather up the tares. We'll just pull them all up and get them out of here. Let's go burn the tares, get them out of here. And Jesus, you know what he said? Listen, he said, You can't do it because it's so close to you. When you try to get rid of them, you're going to pull up the wheat with the tares. He said, you got to let them grow up together, and I will sort them out. Do you know how many days the children of Israel were in Egypt, moaning and groaning and being prisoners and being enslaved and having to carry that workload and knowing that it was not fair? And do you know that the word of the Lord was, let it grow up, because there's a culmination coming, and I'm going to sort this out. Can I tell you, you don't have to worry about things. God's going to sort things out for you. Do you know he'll vindicate you? Did you know somebody could, wouldn't it have been awful if a guy like Joseph, who started off with a wonderful dream of delivering and being a blessing, if he let the things that happened to him destroy him and get him out of position to being used of God? Wouldn't it have been awful? Does everybody know what happened to Joseph? See what I'm talking about? He was falsely accused. That's not fair. I shouldn't be falsely accused. Maybe he should have stood up and he should have fought that and taken that to the nth degree or taken that to the Supreme Court. But he didn't. You know what he did? He just let it all grow up together and knew that God was going to sort it out. And did God sort it out? Didn't he? Yes, he did, didn't he? Praise God. Isn't it good to know that God's on your side? Amen. All right, praise God. The horse and rider, if you don't know, the horse and rider came in after the children of Israel going through that Red Sea, and the children of Israel went through the Red Sea, but the horse and the rider were destroyed in the Red Sea. The very thing you're going through works for your deliverance and the destruction of evil powers. Praise God. And it says the horse and the rider. Amen. All right, I don't want to teach you all about that. Now, I got a couple of other passages I wanted you. Everybody know we used to have all of our kids memorize Psalm 1. It said, blessed is the man. I like blessing stuff, don't you? Come on. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, I'm talking about the blessing, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I like it so far, don't you? Praise God, that's the blessing part. Did you know you can't have the blessing part without having this other part? He said, blessed is the man, and now, listen to this, but the ungodly are not so. He said, you know, the godly man says, everything his hand touches prospers. His leaf won't wither. He just makes it through no matter what. But the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind will drive away. They won't stand. When the others are standing, they won't stand. They'll fall. They'll cave in. Everybody understand? You got to see what this thing is doing right now. There's some things that need to be removed out of our lives. Just let them go. Let God sort things out. He's sorting things out right now. I mean, getting real close to home. Amen. So we got that in Isaiah 41, verses number 11 through 13. Let me turn to that and read, because he got the same kind of a parallel here. I'm talking about a contrast between what God's doing in your life and what he's doing in the unbeliever, what he's doing in powers that are evil. You know what he's doing in your life? He says, fear not. I'm with you. Praise God. Isn't that good? How many of you are glad? God's with us. Don't be dismayed. You're not perplexed and overwhelmed. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I'm going to hold you up with my righteousness, with my righteous right hand. Praise God. Now listen, that's the one side. But did you know this? Behold all those who were incensed against you. Yes, your enemies, those that were chasing you, they're going to be ashamed and disgraced. While you're being helped, they're going to be ashamed and disgraced. while you're being kept, it says they're going to become as nothing. See, like the chaff the wind drives away. And those who strive with you shall perish. Are you going to perish in the storm? You're going to come through the storm. But all those who strive with you will perish. You'll seek them and you won't find them. Those who contend with you and those who war against you shall be, they're going to become as nothing. Praise God. When you start to understand that, how many of you might say, bring it on. Bring the storm on. You mean I'm going to lose my enemies? You mean the ones that's been chasing me are going to be destroyed and I get to come out on the other side? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, see, it's good news, not bad news, what we're in right now. Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Let me read that to you. Almost done. I hope you're getting something this morning about the culmination of things. Don't be wiped out while you're going through it, because God's doing something. Exodus chapter 15. So then Moses and the children of Israel, they sang this song to the Lord, and they spoke, saying, now you have to understand this. This is the culmination of 10 plagues. They knew about their livestock being destroyed. They knew about frogs in their beds. They knew about lice. They knew about the water being polluted. They went through all those things. The culmination of those things. You know what they came out singing? They came out saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. That's what they came out singing. Praise God. I'm going to be 71 here in another month, and I'm going to come out singing. Amen. Arlene came out of her situation singing. Jackie's coming out of her situation singing. I don't care what it looks like out here. God's at work. This is the hour of her deliverance. It's the hour of the horse and rider being thrown into the sea. Things that she used to be tormented with in the days to come, she won't be tormented with, because they're thrown into the sea. Amen. Old, heavy, depressing thoughts. Praise God. Amen. Isn't it good news? And the result is I'm established and I'm made strong in the kingdom. Amen. Is established. He established his kingdom. Well, praise God. He said, I'll sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. He's my God, and I'll praise him. My father is God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Whew. Man, I don't know who. Can anybody in here just envision? I don't know what chases you around from during the time of your deliverance. I don't know who's on your tail chasing you. Fear, depression, torment, sickness, different kinds of weakness just chasing you down. But here, I see them being thrown in the Red Sea, sinking like a stone. There it goes. Whomp. Right down to the bottom. I just think somebody ought to make a bold confession and say, fear has lost its hold on me. Some of you that feel bad about what you did and you wish you'd never done it, how long are you going to waste time feeling like that now? Guilt has lost its hold on me. I'm not bound by that anymore. I know I did wrong. You know I did wrong. They all know I did wrong. But I'm not going to live under that anymore. It sink. It come off of me, sunk like a stone. It used to chase me down. haunted me, but there it goes, right down, sink, throw that stone out in that water, there, just right down to the bottom. Guilt, fear, anxiety. Praise God. Some of the things used to haunt you every day. This is the day of your deliverance. This is the day, there's a culmination of what God's doing. And then finally, here we are, taking our place. Isaiah 41. Now, see, I read you the first part of Isaiah 41, remember? It said, the Lord's our strength. But here's the other part of it. And then I read that to you also. It said, those who are against you are going to wind up paying for it. And they're going to be brought down. You know what creation's waiting for? Romans 8, 19 said, all creation's groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, how many of you know that you're one of the sons of God? I'm a child of God. Are you? By faith, I've received him. Amen. Somebody says, well, why don't you just act like him then? Instead of so much like you. Well, he's come to help us. Praise God. And that's what's at work in me. And you just hang around, because all creation is waiting for the manifestation. The culmination of what we're going through is to bring to surface the Christ that's in you. He is in you. He is your strength. He is your song. Somebody says, does everybody know about old tavern songs? Did you ever hear, old beer drinking songs? They're all how your wife ran off with the other guy and you went bankrupt and you lost your farm and you wrecked your pickup and crying in the beer songs. But God will raise up a new song in you. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Praise God. In the midst of all that, it's all of us have been through our stuff. All of you have wrecked your pickup one time or another. All of you have gone through, you can't wallow in that anymore. This is a new day for you. And the reason that God is at work, the culmination of the plagues and this day, the culmination, I just don't mind, I'll just speak it out loud, the culmination of corona virus. The culmination of that, you know what God's doing? He's delivering his people. He is establishing, let me just tell you now some things. Because when 9/11 happened, do you know what happened to us as a nation? The nation rallied very quickly. People turned to prayer. They said things like, we will never forget and we'll never be the same again. But do you know what happened about less than a year later? We were the same again. Those that increased their prayer lives, they went right back into those that sorted things out and were active for a little while. They fell back to sleep. Come on, church. I just shared with you. We have a prayer meeting and four or five people come. We have a crisis and we can't even. They tell you can't meet for prayer. And now we have 14, 16 people meeting on a conference call for prayer. Now, you know what's going to happen in within a couple, 3 weeks, they're going to say, okay, you can meet again. What shall we do? Go from 16 back down to 4 again? Come on. Let's go from 16 to 32. Let's increase. Let's grow in the Lord, because what's he doing? He is delivering you. He is destroying the enemy, and he is, see, that's helping you sort out priorities, and he is establishing kingdom. You're becoming established in him, strong in the Lord. Don't let these things slip from you. If you've taken ground, if you've increased your prayer life, then go ahead and increase some more. If you started, I'm thankful for people who are taking the step. It's not easy to, it's one thing when we pass a plate and you say, oh, I better put something in there. But it's another thing when you say, well, I think I'll put a check in the mail and send it over to the church. We've got people doing that. And, boy, thank God for it. Thank God for somebody came or caught me earlier this morning, came, said, I know you're not going to be receiving offering today, and we're not receiving offerings while we're going through this, but should I give this to you, or what should I do with it? I said, sure, I'll take it. I'll turn it in. See? That's what you got to do. Rise up. Increase. Grow. Be strong. Amen. You're going to come out of this being stronger than you were before we went into it. The enemy tried to destroy, and God turned it around and worked it for good and for blessing in Jesus' name. You believe it with me today? Hallelujah. All right, amen. Culmination, number one, your deliverance. Number two, the destruction of evil things working against you. Number three, the establishing of kingdom. You getting strong in the Lord. Father, I thank you today for your word. Thank you for everybody that's listening at home. Thank you, Lord, for people who are receiving your word even on in different continents, Lord, because of this wonderful day that we're in. Father, now we just speak blessing. I stir up the gift of God that's in these different believers that are right here. Here we are. We got 10 or 12 people this morning we're ministering to. I believe that God's got his hand on you. I believe this is the day for your deliverance. I believe that he's bringing you out of Egypt, and I believe he's turning your mourning into dancing and giving you a song in the night. I believe a new song starting to rise up. I believe when you come out of this, you'll be joining Moses singing, the Lord has triumphed gloriously, and look what I've got rid of. The horse and the rider that were on my tail are not bothering me anymore. God has established me and made me strong. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we pray for people in the valley of decision. We pray, Lord, for people who are going through it and don't have the hope that we have. Pray, Father, that hearts would be turned toward you, that they'd find out that there's a God that loves them and that there is a strength and there's a help in the time of our weakness and the time of even a storm. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you'll not only see us through, but you'll help us to let our light shine. Now, don't judge other people. Minister to other people. Don't bring them down. Lift them up. Encourage one another. Praise God. Amen. Open up your eyes for a minute because Mary and Luis just came in. Father, bless that couple. Bless that baby in her womb. Hallelujah. They got here late. They think this normal. They think I'm just getting ready to preach. I just finished. Praise God. But you are blessed. You know what you did? You got up and came. Praise God. Amen. You did what? Oh, praise God. Father, would you keep our hospital workers, our doctors and our nurses? Mary's carrying a baby and going to the hospital every day to work. And there are virus patients that are there and in all these places. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Psalm 91 is for her. Thank you, Lord. I pray over every one of you that God will keep you and bless you, keep you from the danger. And I pray if it starts to come upon you, that a great stirring up of your faith will take place and that strength will rise up in you. Amen. It might happen all around you, but you've got a place in him. I've got a place prepared for you, a secret place, place of my presence, safe in his arms, in Jesus' name. Their baby's Louie, with little Louie, Lord, safe in your arms, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Pray for my grandchildren. Pray for Callie and Gracie, Lord. All the rest of them, Father, safe in your arms. Keep them, oh God. Keep them from evil. When the evil starts to chase them, oh God, let the sea cave in upon them. Let the evil be destroyed and let them go free. Praise God. Establish them, make them strong. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise God. Happy Easter to you. Happy resurrection. There's new life in Christ Jesus, and God bless you. Hallelujah.